Inseparable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
It's Tuesday.
Hello, it's Tuesday.
Welcome to all our admirable friends.
Yes, welcome everybody. Good to be back. And we've got kind of all in the family here tonight.
It is all the family. We have Alex joining us.
Alex, welcome to the show.
Hello out there.
You're here without the spouse today?
Yes, she couldn't join me, taking care of the little ones.
Taking care of the little ones.
But listening in.
But tonight's show should be interesting, Carol.
It is interesting, and I think we've got this kind of theme going with this contemplation journal because we've created such a buzz with it. And everybody's asking, you know, about filling it out, what the allure and the drawbacks are. And I know that through the Fort Worth Meditation, questions are coming up. It's like, well, what do I exactly put in there, and how do I...
You're stealing my gratitude. Can I say it now that you brought it up?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because it's directly related. My gratitude is for the group of admirable friends at Fort Worth Meditation. I'm really grateful because it's those discussions that we have on Thursday nights. I kind of realized this, that those live discussions and that feedback, seeing people there talk about and being very open and honest about the things that are bothering them, the stresses in their lives, and having that dialogue in an open way, especially right after we meditate, the level of honesty that takes place in that room is really good, because I think that was the impetus to develop this journal, was born out of those discussions.
So, it is. It's when we shifted the conversation, they allowed us to shift the conversation.
Yeah, they were very authentic and truthful about, you know, we always ask that question, are you stressful? Yes. Do you think you play a role in your stress? And they say yes, you know. Are you willing to learn from your mistakes? They don't jump at that. But it's amazing as we start to drill down after our meditation and we think about the things that aren't going the way we want them in life and the stresses that we incur, it comes down to the willingness to learn from what we're adding to the stress, not the stress that comes from the outside world, but what we're adding to it, and the willingness to go down, for lack of a better word, that rabbit hole and look at what's the allure and what's the drawback of our behavior that gets us there, and just that honesty is just, and I think about how grateful, and we talk about the definition of gratitude also, what we learn from it. Well, what we learn from it is this journal that you and I worked with was developed from that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think we have to give credit to those people down there.
By all means. I'm glad you said that.
All right. Now I stole your thought. I took the gratitude first. You usually open up with gratitude. How about you going now?
I'm actually grateful for my sister, Debbie. She, the gratitude comes when somebody does something, you know, the intention to do something, it's the action that you're grateful for and how it impacts you and others. And she often does things that I bet she thinks goes unnoticed, but they really are not. And so I'm grateful for all the little things she does.
It doesn't draw much attention to herself, doing it?
No.
And does that inspire you? I mean,
it does, because I often say to her, when I grow up, I want to be more like her.
Well, you do, yeah. I see that in you. course, I suppose you should all be grateful for your mom and dad, who were just wonderful people that, who aren't living today, but
they were good role models. So.
Yeah, they were. Well, that's a great gratitude. I hope you're listening, Debbie. Your sister's giving you a big public
shout out to Debbie.
Shout out to the Lord. and don't forget, folks, use the chat tonight. You can express your gratitudes through the chat line at bbsradio.com/admirablefriends. Or you can chime in with thoughts on your journaling and what stresses you've encountered and maybe what you've learned about your role in your stress. Whoa, that's like big responsibility word, isn't it? My role and my stress. It's almost hard to say. It's much easier blaming everybody else, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Alex, gratitudes. You're up at the plate.
I'm up. Well, she isn't here tonight, so maybe that's one reason why I'm so grateful for her, because she's not sitting next to me and I can realize it. But very grateful for my wife, Gabby. Just her continued support and belief in me as an individual and her just kind of really allowing me to go and to do what I'm passionate about and what I want to go out there and grab and to set as my goals. She's always, you know, the first one backing me there, and I really have learned to generate my strength out of her belief in me and her continued support. So without it, I don't know if I would be as strong, and that's something I'm grateful for.
Nice.
So nice.
It is nice.
You couldn't have said that if she was here. I hope she's listening. I hope she's listening. She's probably got a tear in her eye.
Yeah,
I've witnessed that. I've witnessed her support. In fact, she calls me from time to time, and you know, she gives me the insight as to how she supports you and understands what you're going through. In fact, we might as well kind of, if you don't mind, Alex, talk about a little bit about your startup, your own segment of the family business. Is developing a strength-based sports application and your recent certification with Gallup. Myself, you are now a certified coach with Gallup. How did that?
Very, very pleased to be certified. I had the great pleasure of going up to the Gallup campus up in Nebraska, a lovely place up there in Omaha, and got to spend 5 days with their team up there and understanding the basis and the science behind their research and their in-depth look into human strengths. They've done it for the past 40 years, gravitated to it. I've always been intrigued, having a degree in anthropology, studying people is a very natural thing for me to be drawn to. And so looking at different behavioral patterns, motivations, kind of what makes us up in a certain sort of sense, was inviting to me. So I got to go up there and really deepen my education into some things and really grab a hold of something I think is a great, great tool. Joining in with the program that I've created for some youth sports.
Getting back to Gabby, she took care of the three kids while you were up there by yourself. In Omaha.
She did.
Omaha Steaks. Did you have any steak while you were up there?
I did not have any. I heard the Omaha Steaks are just like...
be careful, Nana might be listening. She
I know. I heard they looked at me and I said, you know where I can get a good Omaha steak? They said, well, at the airport. That's where they sell those. almost as though they were some sort of, just...
it's a joke.
Yeah,
it's just
a joke.
It was
like a gag gift, you know, you get from up there. But the people, the town up there, very, very...
And how many colleagues were you up there in the?
In our class total, there was probably about 25 of us.
And that was the accelerated strength training program. Five intensive days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 5 intensive days, full days, 8 to 5, really diving into strengths and diving into our own selves, our own strengths, and really understanding the process, understanding kind of the origins of how it came about, the kind of the language it creates, and learning how I could better apply it to not only my life, but to the lives of others.
Gallup's a cool organization, isn't it?
Oh, man, they are.
They are.
What a great facility. It felt like one of those
Google
places.
Well, I think if people stop and think, I mean, you can't read anything in the paper without seeing a Gallup poll.
Oh, I know. They take it for granted. They're so statistically oriented.
They gather data and information, and they've done it for years. Yeah. So they're sort of like the gold standard.
The reason we asked Alex to come back on is because what we're going to try to do is segue what he was certified, what I was certified on, the strength-based approach, the strengths assessment. Those of you that haven't taken it before, it's called Strength Finders. It's a 20-minute, $10 assessment. Take $10 and you do a 20-minute online assessment, and it spits out your top five talent themes. And they become a lens into the way we operate, kind of modern-day positive psychology assessment. Very good. And science has been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. How many years did you say? 30, 40?
40 years.
Yeah, 40 years.
People have strength, they went over the 10 million mark.
Do you believe
not too long ago. 10 million people taking it. They also
worldwide.
Have strengths for the youth as well, through their Strengths Explorer. I mean, even down to the age of 8 years old.
I know you recently did it for your three kids.
I did. It was amazing to really... if you purely take the tool on just an understanding tool, just, an activity that gets you to learn something more about somebody else.
Two that you took it on.
I did. I gave it to my 10-year-old and my 13-year-old. And the results, most of it, I said, I can see that in them. And they said that they could see it in themselves. And then there were some other ones that I think as a parent, the shock factor was good for me. I wanted to know something I didn't.
Did you feel that they felt good knowing that you knew their strengths?
Exactly. They felt like there was a, and that's what's great about the research is the language it puts together and kind of putting down on paper and having something concrete to communicate is very powerful when you can sit there and nod your head looking at somebody and agreeing with what you're seeing there. And they're basically saying, you see, this is what I've been trying to tell you all this time. And you're saying, it was right
makes
there.
Sense.
Yeah, makes sense.
Well, it gives you your top five talents, which is the way we normally behave. And the thing I like about it is they've kind of redone the word weakness. Weakness as the way we were grown up always were things that we didn't do well. Mm-hmm. A gross example would be that we're good at reading, but we're weak in math. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to strengthen his math skills. And chances are you're never going to make a mathematician out of an author, So they say it's best to strengthen strength. However, they don't leave out the word weakness. It's subtly in their vocabulary. And what they do, Carol, as they call a weakness, a misapplied strength versus something you don't do well. So let's get that language down. So when we're talking tonight,
misapplied strength that either causes you or somebody else problems.
So I call that as unlocked potential.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to...
An opportunity to turn something unskillful into skillful, I would say.
Yes. So what we're dealing with is, okay, you don't do math well or... in your case, Alex, you're not a creative thinker like your brother.
I appreciate that.
But you are the kind of guy that's in time, got a great communication skills, in the moment, gets things done. You guys are like chalk and cheese. So for us to relate to you the way we relate to your brother would have been a huge mistake. And for us to strengthen your talent themes or try to make your brother into you would have been a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So the basis of their science is... strengthening talents, raw talents. Find out, identify these talents, and strengthen those. However, they don't leave out that word weakness. And just so we don't all, are so positive that we forget reality here, we're not perfect machines. We have lots of stress in our life. And this is kind of where what we do with Admirable Friends and Talent and Gallup work together. We're okay dealing with weaknesses as long as we call them misapplied strength talents.
Mm-hmm.
You okay with that, Alex?
I do. I am okay with that.
Yeah, and it's kind of like both sides of the equation because that gives us the opportunity to grow. Yeah.
Well, one of the interesting things that we sort of came across with the strengths and the misapplied strength was that when we were talking about the contemplation journal and a lot of the questions came up is, how do I get started? This is how the conversation down in Fort Worth with some people went. And even some of the questions that we had that were generated from this contemplation journal a couple weeks ago. How do I get started? What do I put on there? I'm really going to have to rack my brain to think about this. And then it's sort of like the light bulb went on, and we connected the dots between the misapplied strength, which was guised as a weakness or an underdeveloped talent. And if you looked at those raw, underdeveloped talents, those were some of the things that were being put down as an unskillful thing. One of the number three things I like to do that don't get me the good results.
Yes.
And so it was like one of those aha moments. It's like, well, gosh, if you got your strengths and you know what the raw is, that's almost like cliff notes on how to do the contemplation journal.
Yeah, so that's the moment. Let's back up for our listeners, because we have some new ones here. The contemplation journal, the purpose, the scope we put on this was to start at the end, meaning our stress. What are the things happening in our life that aren't getting us the results? So we started, and we know most people, either whether they're coming to Gallup for Alex, to Alex and I for coaching, mm-hmm. or whether they're showing up on meditation, people feel like they're lacking something in their lives. Agree, Alex, in your business?
Yeah.
So they're lacking something. So we start with, okay, what's the problems, right, before we can come up with solutions.
Yeah.
So the journal begins with, where is the stress, right? And because we've kind of aware that we as human beings do everything for pleasure, we kind of work through the pleasure side. And obviously the things that would, first of all, we're taking responsibility for our lives, saying, as admirable friends, if I'm having stress, it's my I'm playing a role in this. So you got your hand up, right? Everybody says, I'm playing a role in this. Okay, things aren't going that well, I'm playing a role. What is it I'm doing? Because obviously, if I knew, I wouldn't be here asking the questions. So we start the contemplation by saying, what's not going well? And now we have to kind of guide the journal, give it some context. And we start with trying to find out the intention behind the action that's making us stressful.
Yes.
That's the purpose of the journal. Because if we knew the intention, and we all can agree, right, that we don't just do actions. They're preceded by a thought or an intention. So there's some intention, right?
Yes.
So we obviously aren't in touch with our intentions if we're unhappy with the results of our actions. So we said, let's get a journal together. Let's find a way to drill down in an ordinary way through the use of a journal, not necessarily through the use of a meditation, to kind of delve into our lives and look back and say, why am I doing what I'm doing? Right? And the cue was, well, if we're doing everything for pleasure, then there must be some sick reason that I'm doing something that's causing me stress. So that's when you said the light went off. So I just wanted to give everybody the backdrop as to what dropped that light on, because you have that insider information, Carol.
Correct. And also to add, the contemplation journal isn't one of these daily journals where you have a blank piece of paper and you do a memory dump at the end about all your emotions and your feelings and that's not what we're talking about. The contemplation journal is to write it down and then kind of put it away, bring it back, look at it from different angles, play with it a little bit, put it away again, bring it out. It's kind of a dynamic page.
Because we're trying to find out what's driving us, what's motivating us.
And because every day you look at it, you're going to see something different that you didn't say the day before, because you're in a different place every day.
Right.
You've got a different mindset. You've got a different set of eyes, so to speak, that you're looking at the words with. So you can put the words down on the paper, but they may speak to you in a different way.
Well, and I think what really makes this hum is when you put this in the recipe with admirable friends. Because now, not only do I have a journal, I've got somebody else who's journaling that we can talk about and share our experiences. Because I think sometimes you could journal, but if you had nobody you could talk to that was seeing the same issues, you know, like common allures. A lot of times we'll talk about, last week we brought up the issue of talking behind somebody who's not present.
Correct.
Right? And I brought up, and I guess I was belly to the bar and said, yeah, I've done that before. And somebody else says, yeah, I've done that too. So having that confirmation and discussion with other people helps us kind of illuminate what might be the motivation, the hidden motivation that's causing these actions.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, you could say to yourself, oh, yeah, I've done that before, and that's a bad person. I must be a bad person. But somehow, if somebody else says it, that you hold in a better light, It's sort of like they say it. It's sort of like, well, geez, he does it too, and he's a nice person. He's not a bad person. So all of a sudden, it's like almost like an acceptable kind of thing.
Well, the other thing I think that we add to it, or at least I feel is helpful, is that we're looking at this as, yeah, there are mistakes, but we're trying not to take it personal because they're actions, but they're not necessarily representative of who we are, you know. And if we take all of these mistakes as personal, we'd never get anything done, would we?
No, it would be a beating up party, you know, on yourself.
Let me ask you guys, do you think the reason why we aren't aware of these intentions is because we don't want to beat ourselves up and there's no vehicle to discuss it, and that's why we've gone underground with this?
I think the vehicle to discuss it is very important. I think the language behind what we're discussing is very important. That's why I like the context behind the journal here, the way it's being directed more at the unique and the individual. I think there is a healthy sense of self that comes out of assessing what you're uniquely talented at.
And discussing it.
And discussing that. It gives you the lens. It gives you the focus to at least begin on working with the things you can recognize. A great starting point. So you're not sitting there, you know, and looking at a journal and kind of, what do I write or where do I begin?
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's getting it started. It's that first push. You know,
because there is something empowering and very confident building about starting the process and seeing it unfold. It's almost like a painting, you know, once you put the words down, you know, I'm sure once, you know, a writer starts writing a novel, you know, he starts with the first sentence, and then once he sees the paragraph and the chapters developing, it's sort of like it takes on a life of its own. But I think going back to what Buddy said, it's being truthful. You have to have that responsibility of truth and intention that responsibility for the thoughts of looking at it in
truthfully.
A very raw way.
Yeah. But I noticed your thinker, and when I brought out this question just a minute ago and said, why have we gone underground? In other words, why aren't we in touch with our intentions? Could it be that we're actually treating them personally, and that's why we can't absorb all of that pain?
Sure. If we're doing things for pleasure, then, you know, well, you might as well just deny them and keep them down there.
Stuff them down. But if we surround ourselves with people who are willing to live this way and talk this way, that's one ingredient.
Right.
Number two, the other ingredient is the strength finders as a tool. And number three is the skill as to how we do the journaling and how we uncover these actions. Because if we take them personal, I can't stress this enough, because I think it's really important that if we don't take these things personal, if we look at our actions as things that were conditioned behavior before us, and they're in the past, right? They arise currently. That, to me, if we're honest with them, we know we can. Once we know what they are, we can change it. We can create that audible on the quarterback line, Alex, to use a sports analogy, because you now know what you're changing. You're changing that intention. But if you're going to deny it, you'll never change that intention, which means you'll never change the action.
Absolutely. You got to get to the root of it.
And
finding the intention is not necessarily an easy thing either. It takes time. It takes reflection.
It takes
a lot of courage, but it also takes a bit of guidance. And that's where I think the group, say an Admirable Friends group or, you know, a mentor or a coach, that person that's in the side seat that can help.
You can talk to somebody you can trust.
Somebody who's looking for your benefit to grow and to develop in that way, because it's our blind side. And sometimes that person next to you can really get you out of that blindness and bring you right into where you need to.
And Carol's aha moment was the blind side is actually your talent. Right? When you said you had that aha moment, your actual talent was oh my God, this is where I'm misapplying some of my abilities.
Yes. I mean, when I saw it on paper, it was like, well, that's, you know, that's where the sticking point is. That's why it's doing things I like but not getting the results.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, before we get 5 minutes before we break. And what I'd like to do before we break is just kind of review each one of your top five talents without talking about the raw and mature side.
Okay.
So just so the audience is familiar, you guys are the guinea pigs. You're willing to be honest, as honest as you can be tonight, right? On the radio, knowing this is taped and knowing this is forever going to put you out there.
Oh, well.
What is it these days?
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, with the video, look what's happening, NFL and everything else. I mean, the camera changed everything.
We as a society, we need to become more aware with the technology that's been introduced, and that this is the world we're going to be living in. You know, you've got to be, and to be honest with you, I think it's a good trigger to us being more mindful about what it is we're doing.
Yeah.
If you walked around all day saying this could either be recorded or videoed at any time, what kind of intentions would you have then?
So you're saying the first wave of technology was to dull us. Now that we've invented this stuff, we're going to have to become more aware because the dullness is going to put us in jail.
It's put a lot of people there. Absolutely.
That's great insight.
It really is.
That's so interesting.
And there's a lot of freedom in that exposure.
Like anything else, technology is great if applied.
You know, if we really want to get our ratings up for Admirable Friends, we'll discuss the Ray Rice affair. No, forget that.
Okay.
Carol, give us your top five.
Okay. So are you going to expand on it once I tell you what it is?
We can, or you can. Let's just discuss. Let's open. These are the top. In other words, you took a 20-minute assessment, and basically we're left with five talent themes, right?
Well, actually, I had 30-something.
You had 30-something, but what were your top five?
The first one was learner.
Okay.
Do you want me to keep going? Were you going to say anything?
Go ahead.
Harmony, the second.
Okay.
Empathy. Consistency. And input.
Mm. And when you took that assessment, did you feel that that was a pretty good indication of how what we can expect to see of you on a normal basis in terms of your talents and the way you relate to the world?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was amazing, wasn't it? It was like being undressed.
It was like crazy. It's like, anyway.
Well, that learner is basically have a great desire to learn and want to continuously improve.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go right down the line here for the audience. Your harmony is you're talented in a harmony that looks for consensus. You don't enjoy conflict, rather you seek areas of agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Your empathy is, we know what this is, it's a sense of other people's feelings by imagining themselves in others' lives and situations. Your next theme is consistency, which means you're keenly aware of the need to treat people the same. They try to treat everyone with quality by equality, everyone with equality by setting up clear rules and adhering to them. And lastly, your fifth talent theme is input. And people talented in the input theme have a craving to know more. Often they like to collect and archive all kinds of information, sometimes physical, sometimes mental. Yours is more mental information. You're not really a physical pack rack, are you?
No, I'm a mental pack rack.
You're a mental pack rack.
Actually, if Doug's listening, this is probably one of his top fives as well.
Who's?
Doug from PBS.
Yeah, he gathers. He was saying it early. So these top five are what we could basically see in the way you behave. Your behavior and your pleasure and likes are all associated with those five. Alex, let's shift gears to you. Your top five.
Just to give a little more information with the strengths, they're assessed on a total of 34 themes that were taken into account. The reason to go to the top five is because those are really the more pervasive type of behaviors. Those are around more often than the other ones. So what I liked about this assessment was that it takes in the unique accountability of somebody. There's a 1 in 33 million chance that somebody has your same theme order. And so that's quite unique.
Yeah.
And it's the way the 34 themes kind of play out in this dynamic function that gives rise to this really cool way of, and lens is what I think we used before, this really cool lens that allows somebody to kind of look back at themselves. Almost if you had a lens that was reversed and you can see your own reflection. And through these lenses, the way the themes play out together, not as labels as saying I'm this or I'm that, but the way they dynamically play out together gives rise to a lot of questions that are answered, but then more questions that come up and continues to drill further down into understanding oneself on a behavioral level. So my top five are relator, maximizer, individualization, achiever, and adaptability.
Okay. And just to go down those before the break, the relator, which is your top talent theme, is enjoy close relationship with others. They find deep satisfaction in working with friends to achieve a goal. So you've got a close circle there. You keep I call that the mafia talent.
Yeah, the kind of picture I would draw is if I were to go into an event, versus kind of going around and shaking everybody's hand. You kind of survey the room and shake just a few hands that you know you could build a deeper relationship with.
Carol, that's not in you there.
I'm not even at the event. I'm probably asleep.
Yeah, you guys are so different. You're the introvert, he's the extrovert. That's what you said someday. When I grow up again, I want to be like Alex. That would be exactly what Gallup is saying not to do, by the way.
Okay.
Right? Let's see.
Well, they ask you, what talent do you envy? Which one do you wish you had?
I've got them all.
Well, that's what I said. Then the answer was, I don't envy.
I got them.
Of course you got them all.
I can pull them out whenever I want. Right. I just don't want them.
That's right.
Well, the theory is that a Christ or a Buddha has all 34 at his discretion.
That makes sense.
We're not quite that refined as humans, so we're really working on our top and trying to work through those.
Using those two to kind of manage and balance out those other ones.
Yes.
Use what you got to kind of get what you need.
Maximizer. This is your second talent, and these are people exceptionally talented. A maximizer focus on strengths as a way to stimulate personal and group excellence. They seem to transform something strong into superb.
It's just kind of the HGH of talent
thieves. Well, did you notice that the people in Gallup, like the whole executive team, are all maximizers? So no question, they would develop a science like this.
Absolutely, that thing there likes to pump up the other ones.
Yeah.
That's what I meant by it. Pumps them up.
Well, it's great. You've got your career and where it should be. Individualization is people that are talented. Here's another one that really works good while you're in your career the way you are. You're intrigued with the unique qualities of each person. Well, there's your, what did you say your major was in college?
Anthropology. Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's your anthropology theme, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
All right. So the next one, besides individualization, is, achiever. I get tired every time I read this one because this one's way down on my list. And people always confuse the maximizer, which is my number one theme, with the achiever. Achiever's way down there for me. But you can see with Alex, with maximizer and achiever.
What's achiever?
Achiever is they work hard and possess a great deal of stamina. They take immense satisfaction being busy and productive.
Hmm.
Getting some things done. I believe that's an executing theme in the domain of what kind of theme it's in. It's an executing one, and it's kind of my only executing up there. So,
okay, and before we take a break, we're going to cover the last item, which is the adaptability. This is people exceptionally talented in adaptability prefer to go with the flow. They tend to be now people who take things as they come and discover the future one day at a time. That's Alex.
That's Alex.
That's what I said when I said it.
That's like Alex. He's just going to show up here 15 minutes before the show tonight in our thing, right? No advance warning, right? Well, what are we going to discuss tonight, Alex? We got to prepare for the show. Don't worry about it. I'll be there.
I live it. We got this.
And he always does deliver, doesn't he? All right. Carol's giving me the sign to take a break.
Yes. Let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
Okay.
We're back.
We're back. And now what we're going to do, now
this
that we've introduced...
This is the bearing of the soul part of the show, buddy.
What's that?
Is this the bearing of the soul?
Yes, it is. This is the real deal. Now, those of you that are listening and those of you that have your strength finders, you might be able to get some real hot tips on some of these issues. We're going to start with Carol as a learner.
And we're no. I don't want to start with learner.
You don't want to start with learner. Where do you want to start?
My harmony is the one that gives me more trouble.
The bleeding heart one, right?
Okay. So read the harmony again.
Okay. I'll read the harmony. 1 second. People exceptionally talented harmony theme look for consensus. They don't enjoy conflict. Rather, they see areas of agreement. So you're saying this is a lens into the things that you like to do that don't get you good results. So you think this is, let me put it this way. You generally think harmony is associated with your disease or stress. This talent of yours.
Yes, because
by the way, you do some great things harmonizing. There's times when you smooth things over like nobody does.
Thank you.
To the positive.
But I will tell you that something that really is a bugaboo or I think I rely too much on the raw, underdeveloped part of harmony in that the non-confrontational and avoiding conflict aspect of it. Now, that's the immature, raw part of it. And I almost...
So you're saying the motive behind it, if it's not just to harmonize, it's you stay away from the areas of conflict instead of willing to harmonize through the conflict.
Yes. Yes. And I think I almost used as a badge of courage, I think I used to say, oh, I avoid conflict at all costs. I mean, that used to be like my phrase.
I get you.
I find that I want to bust out of that particular unskillful, because I do think it's unskillful, avoiding conflict. Because there's times when I believe things need to be said at the right time, the right words at the right time.
Okay, so now we got to get down to the allure.
What
is the allure of why you're avoiding conflict?
Well, I think, you know, once you avoid conflict and you're non-confrontational, depending on the group that you're in, I think it has, for me, I think it has to do with not being liked. I mean, I think if I make a stand, if I take a stand or I say something, I think...
So you like being liked. And to go out on the limb would be to put that at risk.
Yes.
So the allure is, wow, that's huge.
I think that's what it is. I've been giving this a lot of thought, and that's kind of where I'm at
on
this one.
Again, see how deceptive this is, Alex? Mm-hmm. She likes to be liked, right? And she's linking that to why she misuses her harmony. And actually uses as a crutch to not speak up.
Correct.
A
correct. I almost
yours.
Use it as a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like if I don't, you know, if I avoid the conflict, then we'll...
And so the impact of that, oh, let's get to the bad side now. So what is the drawback? I should have said that.
Yes, because I usually say at the end what I should have said was, it's after the fact. I seem to have the answer and the right words to say after the fact. But I had them during the fact, but I was too sheepish or maybe not willing to take responsibility for just speaking up.
We got the allure, we got the drawback. Now that you're talking about it, and you write, have you written this down in your journal?
Yes.
Okay. Do you see that as any way that is helpful in terms of you overcoming this issue? Do you feel like you've come aboard with it and you're willing to deal with it?
Well, I do see that. I have made small gains to build my confidence in saying, you can say things at the right time when it's appropriate, and it doesn't leave a lasting mark, so to speak.
I got you.
It's not hurting myself, and it's not hurting anybody else. So it's got to be skillful in that regard, right?
Okay, so yeah, but have you found yourself, well, first of all, this is something that's come up recently, or is it something you've known for a while?
No, I wouldn't. It's been pretty much my whole life.
Okay,
I would say.
As far as bubbling it up to a point where you're really realizing it, it's a problem for you.
Yeah, well, it's not a problem, but it's like enough already. You know, it's like
I want
to
say.
You know what you want to say, and you know when the appropriate time is to say it. So why not just say
so
it?
So have you found yourself ever now going out and actually saying something that you wouldn't have otherwise?
I have.
How's it feel?
Surprisingly, it does surprise me because it's like the world doesn't fall in and nobody's like walking away or shunning.
Don't dislike it.
And it's sort of like it's not a cataclysmic event.
Because I imagine you're doing it in such a way. Let's just take that harmony. You've now taken something that caused you to go underground. You actually confront it. But because you're harmonizing, you wouldn't be confronting it in an adversarial way. It's probably done in a very tactful way. Do you find that when you do that you don't have any casualties, any dead bodies, because you can find
correct.
Things?
Correct. That's
so,
what I'm finding.
So she's a trans, Alex, she's transformed her harmony from a raw state to a mature state in her actions.
Yeah.
There's the example. That's exactly what the journal should be doing. The discussion and then the courage to go forward. First of all, to admit, you know, again, if you didn't touch base with this allure of wanting to be liked, could you have ever come up with that solution?
Probably not.
Because right? That's what kind of led you to the weighing against the drawback. So you ultimately your drawback had to exceed the allure for you to change. The drawback of I'm sick and tired of saying what I should have said.
Well, and also too is I find that I could be life's doormat by not saying, and it's not so much conflict; it's not speaking up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could be very easily taken advantage of too, and it's sort of like you know I leave myself open to that because I don't want to create any conflict by speaking up or perceived conflict, I should say. So to me, that was kind of another. It's like you know, no one's going to lose their life by me saying. But I mean, if I'm saying it and it's truthfully, timely, and beneficial.
Yeah, which,
then it should be skillful.
But I think the irony is you have the talent. You have the ability to do it in a harmonizing way. But the same strength was your weakness. Meaning
part of it was and we were speaking earlier before the show about how these talents have certain gradients along the line, you know, there's like...
And Alex also said they don't individually work by themselves. They're blended together with
right.
some of the fire.
And they're like in parts. There's right. like little parts. And so this was one particular part of the harmony. I love my harmonizing strength.
Yeah,
I feel very comfortable
with it.
Yeah. But there was just that one little facet, almost like in a gem, in a diamond, how right. a diamond has different facets and different sizes. There was one that just... needed a little bit more polishing.
So that's the classic doing things you like to do and
right.
not getting the results that you want.
That's correct.
And you transform that, or at least you've identified it. You've obviously got more work to do with it, right? I mean,
oh, sure. It's always going to be a work in progress because there's always a new person you speak to, depending on what situation you're in. And
so it's a work in progress. But
yeah.
you've identified with it and you've got it right in your eyesight, right in your bullseye.
But I think once I tried on for size, I think... You do it once, it's easier maybe to take that step again. So
well, that's just inspiring, Carol. I hope there's a harmonizer out there listening to us tonight that heard your story. I really do. Because that is tremendously
and
inspiring.
And it's not well...
No, it's really... Just leave it the way it is.
Yeah.
That's pretty huge. Obviously, Alex and I don't have harmony that far up close, so... neither does empathy have there up there high, so I can't understand what she's going through, but
yeah.
it makes total logical sense to me with my thinking talents, what she's done.
Well, as you said, I don't have too many thinking talents, but it still makes logical sense to me. Yeah, you know, I really like the way the journal almost sets up kind of this way to kind of experiment and kind of set up scenarios and to really run through cause and effect on very pointed actions and almost kind of put these actions in an incubator and be able to test them and to be able to propose some different outcomes and play with them, and then go back and see what's working or what didn't, and really define things like the allure. You might come back and say, there is an allure that I may have not seen before. And
yes.
then you go back to it. And then you go from the allure back into the almost like the pros and the cons. What's the allure? What's the drawback?
That's why it's called the contemplation journal.
Hey, Carol,
because
just,
it's supposed to evoke reflection and thinking. That's why it's not called a log. You know how log is like check off, check off, check off.
The chat, I wasn't looking at the chat line. You got this chat line humming now with your confessions.
Oh, darn.
Linda turns around and says, before the break, please state again how to accept the Gallup poll item. And then somebody gave her the Gallup poll where to get you. Kate turns around and says, I echo Carol's sentiment that I often wish I had some of Alex's strengths.
Oh, great. That 10-gallon hat is not going to be fitting him after the show.
Remember, Kate, we're trying to not be what we're not.
You have
we're
them all, Kate. You have them all.
You've got them all. H says, did you want to take the assessment, Linda? Mayor from, I know who that mayor is.
Yay.
And I know the harmonizer she is. She comes in and says, Carol, I am with you on the harmony. I have worked hard to recognize when confrontation is approachable. Wow.
You know what I've noticed with your harmony?
Well,
sometimes it's just a simple act of you being in the room and others knowing that you have that harmonizer, right? Creates a different sort of energy when you get into a room. And so as you begin to see these talents, and then not only see that we ourselves are unique, but other people bring unique things to the table, it becomes more, inviting you in certain scenarios, I find myself doing, because I know what you bring to the table, and simply having you there and having those harmonizing themes, which I don't have so high on mine, but I do have Relator. So
yes.
I can use my Relator to bring someone like you in close to my circle, so I can get the best out of what you have by using what I have. So
that's really
that,
key.
That's kind of that kind of Kate. That's a kind of a shout out there to you. Is that I like how we each can use the best of what we have to really go to team up with other people and bring them into you.
Funny you said that, because I think AJ said that a couple weeks ago. I think he said that you kind of gravitate towards people who have strengths or talents that you aspire to.
Mm.
Now I'm not saying that this is a bad thing. I think I wanted to bring that up early. Just because it's raw and underdeveloped, I'm not saying that, it's just I'm a bad person because I have it, or I really...
No.
It's something that I want to elevate, to just polish that harmony to make it firing on all pistons.
But really, what we did to the journal was we worked with actions, intentions, and results, or intentions, actions, results. We're breaking it down
and
from who you are into what you do.
And that's as simple as you're going to get. Start with one action. If anybody's out there, start with one action.
One action.
That's all you got to start with, is one action.
Think about it.
Think about it. Think about what's drawing you to do that action. Think about what potentially that action could create as far as a ripple down the road. And then create some other scenarios that then change it. We were talking the other day. It was almost like those old choose your own adventure books. Those choose your own adventure where it's like, oh, I can go. And so I would, you give three options. You go and you kind of look and you say, oh, no. Then you go back in the book. I didn't want to choose that option, because you could see the effect of where that choice would take you.
And that's the beauty of the contemplation.
Yeah.
Think about it. Look it over.
Bring it down, put it back. Because unless you've weighed out the drawbacks against the allure, you're not going to act on it. If you're creating demand to change, that's why I call it a transformation, through looking at both sides of the action. You're looking at the action saying, I'm doing this because I like it, obviously in the short term, but it's not getting me the long-term results. So the drawback becomes, it's not getting me what I want. Mm-hmm. And then you say to yourself, what is it I want? And then now you transform your action into what you want.
Yeah.
You're using desire to get you what you want, is what I like about it, through contemplation. Which basically says we don't have to go off onto a mountain to meditate to try to find ourselves.
Right.
If we just practically take one action at a time, fill it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that meditation is not helpful. It is, especially in the context of a journal. But when we use it to actually help sort through the problems in our life, the stresses that we have, and how to fix them. I can't stress that enough. It's a problem-solving ability, right?
Yeah. It's a great tool. I've really benefited from it, so.
All right, Alex, you're up. Batter up.
Okay, I'm going to file this one under anonymous. I'll file this under anonymous.
Take one of your basement areas and go at it.
I've got a friend.
There's so many. There's 34 basements. Which one do I want to go into?
Don't worry, you're already certified, so nobody from Gallup is listening to you.
They can't take it away from you.
I tell you what, in the 5 days up there, you think this is bearing your soul. You got 20 people you never met in your life up there.
Yeah, but you guys are drinking Kool-Aid up there. I went to that class, too. Now we're in the basement.
It was delicious. I like My Achiever, because as I've dealt with my talents, the Achiever one was one that I always get pointed to. It goes back to a saying I was told by my father. He said one time, I said, I'm really getting things done here. He says, it's like you're climbing a ladder really fast, but your ladder's on the wrong wall. And I said, you know what? That makes so much sense. And I felt like I was climbing this ladder and I was on my way somewhere, but I could almost see in my head the wall I really wanted to be on, and I really hadn't gotten any further. So the Achiever for me is one that is usually a to-do list kind of guy. I like listing things out. I'm a big lister, and I like to list them and cross them off. The crossing off is the key part of the Achiever. I like to cross these things off.
You like that too. Let me ask you something. You didn't write it down, Alex, and you did something. Do you go write it down and then put the cross next to it?
Have to.
Yeah.
Have to. I'm a big crosser off.
And that's not a bugaboo for me enough to write it down on this journal. No. I'm just telling you that.
Well, it gets even sicker than that. So,
okay, go
so
ahead.
Not only is it a cross off, but it's not even savoring the crossing off. With the Achiever.
You want the next one right away?
I have to go. And
you're craving on steroids.
Exactly. I want it more to just keep on having another cookie, and not savoring the taste of the first cookie and enjoying it. And so I'll go and just start crossing things off. I could have these big events and everybody, I remember going back and I used to set up some events and people would come to, and everybody comes to me and says, it was great, and everyone's relaxing. All right, we can relax. You did a great job. And I'm saying, on to the next one. Not really sitting there and enjoying it. So Achiever for me often correlates to actions that don't get me the results I'm looking for.
So when you were looking at the Allure, did you end up having to be able to drill down on anything?
In a funny way, and when we're talking about the dynamics of these things, the Allure kind of brought in, some of my other talents in their basements, and so I was having,
But actually, the way you were explaining that, the way you were lining things off, there was an Allure in just lining them off, wasn't there?
That is the Allure. The allure was that I have something I can point to and say that got crossed off.
Right.
The downside.
Look what I did.
Right. Exactly. The downside is if I don't have those things I'm crossing off pointed at something higher, some goal, some purpose, then they're just meaningless things that are just getting lined off. They're not, it's the ladder's on the wrong wall.
Right.
So for me, to lean on some of my other talents and other actions and say, what is a goal that you could set up that has you creating a list that makes you fulfilled and that you're continuing along those lines?
But does the use of the journal make you think more about fixing this problem?
It does. In a good way, it forces you to look and drill down deeper and to look at why I'm drawn to making these lists. Why am I drawn to just running through them, checking them off? Why am I drawn to the feeling of my day is better when I've crossed things off?
So the drawback for you would be, sometimes I'm doing things that aren't getting me what I want if I put my head up. The ladder needs to... So the drawback is I'm getting things done, really crossing things off, except it's not getting me the results.
Well, how about the drawback is you're not getting to savor the achievements that you have done?
Sometimes it's like running really fast in place.
Yeah.
Just running really fast.
It's funny because Achiever is a very action-oriented strength.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's... When we talk about actions, that's very interesting.
So, well, that's full of meat too. So really, you know, it's good that you two came on, because what we've done here is we've hit both ends of the spectrum. We've hit, you know, the achiever type, and we've hit the harmony. So it's almost like, although I've seen a lot of women that have achiever as well, and I've seen men that have harmony, of course. But you've covered a lot. Hopefully our audience is able to get a look, a little idea, a snippet of how you can jumpstart a journal with just looking at your talents. $10 assessment.
If you're looking to start a conversation, to drill down and where it's pointed at really understanding yourself better, I mean, that's what the tool is great
that's
for.
That's what the tool is great for.
It gives you a conversation.
It is like a quick a jump start.
A form to work from.
Jumpstart your journal with a StrengthFinder.
Yeah.
There's your insight, Carol, your aha moment. And it does work out well, because I can just see by the activity here on the Instant Chat, it keeps coming in. You know, people do want to talk about their situations. They want to be talked to on a turn on a level that relates to how they operate. And look how different you are. You both are so different. You gave such stark different examples, yet you have similar problems.
Right. And I can say that I've sat and I've spoken with other people that have the achiever talent as me, and they gave me such great insight as into some more skillful actions that I could do, and they explained them through their own lens and their own experience. And so not only does the assessment give us a language, over 10 million people have taken it. So
there are some people out there that are talking some talk.
We've got about 15 seconds left here, but that's the social networking that Allison's putting together is going to take into consideration the ability to set up a team with similar talent themes, so you could have these discussions.
Very cool.
Really cool. Hey, folks, great show.
It flew by.
Thanks so much for what you've done here and being open and honest with us. And
thanks for being patient and listening to me. And
I can't wait to listen to the to the replay on
iTunes. Everyone, go have a great week.
iTunes. Yeah, everybody, have a great week. Any questions? Write us at
hello@admirablefriends.org,
and we'll point that website out of StrengthFinders or GallupStrengthCenter.com. We'll get you to take the strengths. Email us the results, and we'll set you up on our private social network, so you can see all those talent themes and all the raw side. Thanks again, everybody. See you next week.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.